Our sermon text for tonight is Psalm 121. Psalm 121. This is on page 516 if you're using one of the black Bibles here. There is a simple outline in the bulletin if you'd like to use that as well. Psalm 121. And as I read this, I want you children to listen carefully. You always ought to listen carefully, but I want you to try to count and notice how many times the word keep or keeper or keeps is used in this psalm. Listen particularly for that word. Psalm 121, please hear God's word. A song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's stop and ask for God's blessing on the hearing and preaching of His Word. Father, we know that our help comes from You, who made heaven and earth. So we ask You now to help us to hear Your Word, to receive it with faith and lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives. Lord, You are our keeper, and we pray that You would keep us now by Your word as You tell us the truth, as You proclaim the good news. And Holy Spirit, we ask that You would apply Your word in our hearts and take up Your sword and use it as it is needed this evening. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 121 is honest about life. The psalm knows that life is a difficult pilgrimage full of challenges and that we need help and hope along the way. We need one to keep us and to protect us. But Psalm 121 doesn't focus on our needs and our weaknesses, but rather it points us to our help and our hope in this life. It points you to the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. While not ignoring them, Psalm 121 takes the focus off of the challenges of this life, the mountains and valleys of this life, and places it where it should be, places it on the Lord, our keeper. God, through Psalm 121, encourages you and calls you to look to Him tonight, to look to Him as you are pilgrims in the midst of your earthly journey. And as you look to Him, to take comfort and to take courage. The Lord wants you to fix your eyes on Him and know that you are okay. Know that He will preserve you. Know that you will be perfectly kept by Him. And so, people of God, hear these comforting words from your God tonight. Hear His call through Psalm 121 to faith in Him, to lift your eyes to Him because He is your keeper. That is what I want you to hear tonight from God's Word, this call to lift your eyes to the Lord, to see that He is the one that keeps you in your pilgrim journey through this life. Lift your eyes to the Lord, your keeper. Well, let's jump in together and look at Psalm 121 tonight. And I want to look at it in three parts. I want us to consider your pilgrim life, your source of help, and then finally tonight, your constant keeper. So first of all, your pilgrim life. Look again at the first verse of Psalm 21, as well as the title. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Psalm 121 is part of a group of 15 psalms that share this title, A Song of Ascents. And it seems that these psalms were used by pilgrims on their way to worship in Jerusalem, on their ascent to worshiping God for one of the annual feasts. And so I want you to picture an Old Testament believer singing this psalm, walking, journeying up to Jerusalem, meditating on the worship that they would soon be partaking in, and singing this psalm among with the others in this section. Singing this psalm, and as they were walking and singing this psalm, lifting their eyes to the hills up ahead. Those hills that would need to be traversed on the way up to Jerusalem. And I think the opening line of this psalm acknowledges the reality of the pilgrimage, that it would be demanding, that it would be a difficult journey. There would be hills to climb. There'd be difficult terrain to navigate. You see, when they made this pilgrimage, they didn't take a bus or a train. There was no highway. They would encounter topography, climbs and descents, possibly heat and cold, bad weather, maybe even wild animals, robbers, rocks and cliffs and so on. And the psalm goes on to speak of the need for firm footing, for safety both night and day, for shade, for being kept in all our going out and coming in. And so this psalm is about the difficulties and dangers of pilgrimages and those that pilgrims face. And so as the pilgrim lifts his eyes to the hills ahead and ponders his journey, and thinks about how it's not going to be easy, how it's going to be demanding, he acknowledges he's going to need strength and protection and help. And it raises the question, where is that help going to come from? How am I going to do it? From where does my help come? Traveling is complicated and wearisome today, but it was even more so in the ancient world. A lot could go wrong for the Old Testament pilgrim. It was a long, hard journey. And a lot can go wrong for us as New Testament pilgrims today. It's a long, hard journey for us as well. Of course, we don't make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem each year on foot. We are now the temple of the living God. Christ has been sacrificed once for all. We worship now in spirit and in truth wherever we gather. But we are pilgrims on the way to the heavenly Jerusalem. And this psalm can help us on our pilgrim journey, which includes hills of a different sort, which includes dangers and difficulties and the need for help. And this pressing question in verse 1, from where comes my help, is a question that all of us tonight need to ask and answer. Is this something that you ask in life? You think to yourself, how am I going to do it? How am I going to get over that hill? How am I going to get through this? I'm going to need help, but I don't know from where or from who. Sometimes you may wake up and think, I don't know how I'm going to get through just this day. Where is my help going to come from? I don't know how I'm going to get through this semester or this class. I don't know how I'm going to get through this task, this pregnancy. I don't know how I'm going to move forward in this relationship or in my career. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this sin or this error or this doubt. Where is my help going to come from? I don't know how I'm going to get through this sickness. Fill in the blank for yourself. I lift my eyes to the whatever seems large and too overwhelming to you. Where am I going to get the help? Friends, we are pilgrims on our way to glory, on our way to heaven and eternity. But life brings no few number of hills for us as well as pilgrims. But the Scriptures tell us that it will be hard. And we need to be honest about this. We need to acknowledge this, acknowledge our need for help. We need to remember we are pilgrims on a difficult journey and recognize we can't do this on our own. We need to acknowledge the hills that lie ahead, but not fixate on them, not keep our gaze there. Notice how the psalmist immediately answers his opening question with an affirmation of faith and a shifting of his gaze to where his help does come from and will come from. And that's what I want us to consider second this evening, your source of help. The psalmist answers that opening question right away. Look at verse 2. Right after asking, from where does my help come? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Where's your help going to come from? How can you overcome the hills, the obstacles, the dangers of this pilgrim life? Not on your own. Not ultimately from anything or anyone in this creation, but from the Creator, the Lord, all caps, Yahweh, the God who redeems His people, the self-existent God, the God who made heaven and earth. And verse 2, and for the remainder of this psalm, our gaze is lifted above and beyond the hills to the Creator of the hills, to the Lord who made heaven and earth, who has power, who has ability, who has the desire to help us in our journey. And verse 2 is a simple but deep and beautiful confession of faith. Listen to it again. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's a verse to memorize. My help comes from the Lord. Is that who your help comes from? God helps His people. He is their help. He is their source of strength and protection and aid. He is who you and I need as pilgrims in this difficult and dangerous journey. He's the one who's given us His Holy Spirit to be with us forever as our helper, as Jesus promised in John 14. He will help us and lead us to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the final destination. My help comes from the Lord. Has anyone ever said to you, you know, you need help. You need help. Something like that can come across as an insult, even if it's well meant. Well, God's Word tells us we need help. And it's just being honest. It's absolutely right. And if we're honest, we have to agree. We need help. We need help not just because of our sin and our guilt and our need for a Savior, but even as God's people, as redeemed people, as His children, we need help to walk in His ways. We need help to overcome evil. We need help to persevere through trials and pain, through difficult circumstances, through loss, through the ups and downs of this earthly pilgrim journey. Well, God tells us, I am your help. Your help comes from me. My help comes from the Lord. Do you hear Him tonight? Do you hear Him telling you that? Do you believe that? Can you say, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord? There are hills up ahead. I know I need help, but I know where my help comes from. It's easy to say, it's much harder to believe and to live out, isn't it? It's often easier to look for help elsewhere, to try to help ourselves, to try to find strength from within or from out in the world with its helps, or look for ways to distract us or dull the pain. What are you drawn to look for help in? What are you drawn to place your trust in besides the Lord? Friends, your help must ultimately come from the Lord. You must be able to say, verse 2, my help comes from you, Lord. Now, some think that verse 1, when hills are referenced, may refer to things other than God that we can be tempted to trust in. Things that appear to be bigger and stronger than us. Things that are fixed and firm. Potential places of refuge. Perhaps the psalmist could have thought of the hills in that way, a means of help. Others think he's referring to the hills as a potential place of harm. The hills could be concealing enemies, and he's going to need help. But regardless of what exactly he's referring to here in his reference to hills, the point that he's making is very clear, and that is he needs help. He knows he needs help, and he quickly moves and says, God is. God must be my help. God must be your help. And the remainder of the psalm gives reasons why God is his help. God is our help. Because he's the one who constantly keeps you. He is the keeper of his people. And so I want us to consider that third and in greater length this evening. Your constant keeper. Your constant keeper. Look at verse 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is the one who keeps you. God is the one who keeps his people. He's the one who keeps your foot from being moved. That is, from stumbling on your journey. And he does this constantly. The psalm says he will not slumber. God never takes a break. He never takes a nap. He won't fall asleep on the job. There is never a time when he can't keep up with keeping you and keeping all of his people. He never fatigues. He never takes time off. And that leads us to the central line, really the central theme of Psalm 121, which is verse 5. Look at verse 5 again. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Kids, if you were counting, the word keep or keeper shows up 6 times in this short psalm. And the name Lord shows up 5 times. And that is because the focus in this psalm is on him. And in his role and his activity of constantly keeping you. Psalm 121 has a simple poetic structure. There are 8 couplets, 8 double lines, and right in the middle is this central promise, this central reality for the believer, both now and then. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. That's the big idea, the main point of this psalm. The covenant God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the only God, the only Lord, the only Redeemer actively keeps you. He is your personal keeper. He is the shade at your right hand. That is, he never leaves your side. He's like a shadow that's always with you, shading you. Think about that. Meditate on that. It's such an amazing image. Recite this to yourself. The Lord is my keeper. When you're tired, when you're weak, when you're overwhelmed, when you're sick, when you're afraid, when you're full of sorrow, when you're lonely, when you lift your eyes to the hills ahead, when you lie down, when you wake up, the Lord is my keeper. The psalm goes on to describe the completeness and constancy of the Lord's keeping. In verse 6, he keeps you by day and by night. Verse 8, he keeps your going out and your coming in. These are poetic parallels, figures of speech that express totality by naming opposites. And we can do the same thing. We say things like from head to toe or she was by my side night and day. The psalmist could hardly express a more comprehensive picture of God's constant, all-encompassing keeping, watching, preserving, and protecting us. And it's so complete, it never ends. Look at verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Kids, do you know the future? Do you know what will happen tomorrow? Do you know what hills and difficulties and dangers lie ahead? Well, no. None of us know what one day will hold. But if we are the Lord's, we can know this. He will keep you forever. You can be certain of it. What a promise this is. The Lord will keep you. The Lord is your keeper. If you are trusting in Him, if you are one of His children by faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord is your keeper. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, well, this all sounds great. This is encouraging, but I don't always feel this. I don't always experience this. I don't always see this in my own life and in the lives of other pilgrims and believers. I mean, doesn't this psalm know about how we can fall into sin? Doubt, depression, that we do stumble, that some professing believers at times walk away from the Lord? What about verse 7? How is that true when Christians commit evil? When they suffer? When they suffer physical harm or even die? When God allows terrible things to happen? Look at verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. It sounds like a wonderful promise, and it is, but what about what we often observe? Well, these are important questions. And to answer them, we need to understand that Psalm 121 is not saying that God will instantly sanctify us. He will not instantly free us from sin. It's not saying He will grant us immortality and eternal life right now. We will still experience the curse of death until Christ returns. It's also not saying God will free us right now from all of the effects of the fall and sin and its consequences. It's not saying that God won't let us stumble at times, that He won't refine us with trials, that He won't humble us and discipline us at times in love as His children, that He won't challenge our faith in the hills of this life. We need to read Psalm 121 alongside of all of Scripture. And what I think Psalm 121 is saying is that God will keep us through all of that. He will keep us in an ultimate and comprehensive sense. He will not lose us. He will not allow us to be swallowed up by evil. Nothing will happen to us outside of His care and His plan and His constant keeping of us. And so we can say He will keep our life. He will keep us body and soul, our whole living being. Yes, He may allow injury, disease, discouragement, death, but nothing will separate us from His redeeming work for us, from His saving, keeping us. Our lives will go on forever in Christ because we are united to Christ. Nothing will ever happen to us outside of His plan and His control. That's not for our good. That's not under His constant keeping of us. One day we will be perfected and given new immortal bodies, free from all evil, awaiting final glory in God's presence. And so the awesome reality and promise of Psalm 121 that this psalm is getting you to lay hold of is both present and future. It's comprehensive. It has in view your whole life, your whole being, body and soul, your whole existence, now and forever. And that ought to be such a comfort for us. We ought to see how privileged we are to be kept by God. This is reason for hope and courage, brothers and sisters, perseverance in our pilgrimage, faith, praise, worship, and joy. And this is a reality and a truth and a promise really we see all throughout Scripture. And I want you to just listen to a few verses that I read now. Some of these you've already heard and some you've already sung this evening. But listen to several verses that highlight this truth that God keeps and never leaves His people. Numbers 6:24, the Lord bless you and keep you. Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 139, verse 7 and following. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Matthew 28, verse 20. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And finally, Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I could go on and on. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord keeps his people. The Lord is with you. The Lord will finish what he has started. If you are his, then he is yours. He is your keeper. Do not fear. His keeping you is constant and it's never ending. It's comprehensive. And you see just a little bit tonight how this truth, this promise can be so empowering. It's dynamite. It's transformative. It travels. It works always and everywhere for the child of God, for the pilgrim walking by faith in Jesus. There is never a time, never a place when you are not kept by God. This is not contingent on how you feel, whether you believe this a lot or a little in the moment, on how hard life is or isn't. It is based on the character and promise of God, the love and power of God. And the reason why God can do this, and the reason why he does keep his people, is because he sent Jesus Christ to live and die and rise again for them, for you. Because Jesus has sealed you with his blood. Because he was sacrificed for you. Those sacrifices that the pilgrims were going up to participate in and to witness, Jesus Christ fulfilled. It's because he willingly let himself not be kept by God, but punished. He let his foot be bruised for a time as the sin bearer. The Lord was not his shade, not his keeper, but his judge. He was struck. The greatest evil of all fell on him at the hands of evil men. His life was not kept, but it was poured out. It was destroyed for you in your place so that you might have life, so that you might be kept, so that you might never know a day without God's keeping you, both now and forevermore. You are kept, brothers and sisters, because Jesus was not. Because he was rejected. He was harmed. God poured out his wrath on him in your place. Psalm 121 is possible and is true only because of Jesus. And so praise and thank Jesus. Life is a dangerous and difficult pilgrimage. But friends, you have help. There's help. There is a helper, the Lord. You have one who has walked this path before you. You have one who will never leave you or forsake you, but will keep you in His everlasting arms, in His grace, now and forever. And so set your eyes not on what strength you do or don't have, not on the hills that you must climb, which are certainly there. Set your eyes not on others who are on the wide and easy path, but set them on the Lord, your keeper. Rejoice in what Christ has done for you. Take hope and press on. I don't remember the details, but I once heard of a man who had learned to live this out. He'd learned the truth of Psalm 121, and it showed in how he answered a particular question, a very simple, common question. Whenever he was asked, "How are you?" his response captured the truth of Psalm 121, and it was a testimony to others and a reminder to himself. Think about how you often might answer that question. How are you? Fine. Good, thanks. I'm okay. How about you? Or I've had better days. Well, this man always responded to that question with one simple word. When he was asked, "How are you?" he would reply, "Kept. I am kept." I think he knew this psalm. How are you? Kept. And it was always a completely true, accurate answer for him as a believer. No matter where he was, how he felt, no matter the time or the place, the circumstances, whether he was sad or joyful, whether he was in pain or delight, he was kept, and he knew that, and he believed that, and he preached that to himself every time he answered that question. He was kept by his keeper who never slumbered or slept. Is that true of you? Are you kept? Can you answer that way? If not, don't look for help. Don't look for a keeper anywhere else. There's only one. Come to Him. Ask Him to save you, to keep you through Jesus Christ, who perfectly keeps all His sheep. Don't leave here tonight without a keeper. Don't try to live one more day in this dangerous and difficult life without the Lord, without a keeper. Friends, no matter when or where, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, if you are one of God's people, if you are a pilgrim in Christ, a child of God on your way to glory, then you are kept. You can answer just like this man, with confidence and faith in your Father. And you need to know this. You need to believe this, rest in this, that God is your keeper. You need to live in light of it and lean on it. You can never be separated from your keeper. He is none other than the maker of heaven and earth. And Psalm 121 calls you to fix your eyes on Him, to lift your eyes above the hills to your keeper in your journey through life. And I want to leave you with the words of Jude 24, which fixes your eyes and your praise on the Lord, your keeper. Now to Him who is able to keep you, Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, where does our help come from? We know that it comes only from You, who made heaven and earth. And I pray that each one here would know that and believe that, would look to the perfect work of Jesus Christ, which has made this possible, would know the sweetness and the comfort and the hope and the joy that comes from knowing that You are our keeper, that You will keep our going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Lord, there are many hills. There are many places where our feet can stumble. So we ask that you would keep us as you've promised in Jesus Christ, now and forevermore, until he returns, until we meet him face to face. For we ask it in his name. Amen.